Big up your head, big up your body. Get on the bus, it's time to party. It's Gregory. It is a Saturday night, Gregory. Take your socks off and take your pants on. Get in the car and drive on.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your favorite podcast, Friday Night Greg. I am Greg. It's Wednesday morning. I got the wonderful, wow, hard to get, I don't know why, one of my favorite human beings in the world, John Fish, like an uncle, brother, dad to me.
Woo-wee!
John Fish, which before we even do it,
yeah.
Album, Unhinged.
No,
Hinged.
Right, just right.
You're hinged.
I'm hinged.
You've been hinged.
Yeah.
Been You're hinged.
I was on.
Yeah.
Now we're hinged.
Where now that's on like Spotify. Is there video?
Yeah. The special is up on Laugh Button's YouTube page.
Mm-hmm.
And the album is everywhere that you would find it.
Yeah.
Maybe not including Spotify. Whatever happened with the Spotify thing that everyone was.
Everyone bounced. I didn't.
Did they figure it out?
I don't know. I didn't do anything.
Don't listen to it on Spotify. Listen to it everywhere else. I think we're comedians are in a war with Spotify still.
Yeah, they weren't paying people.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was still up, so I think it was just...
Me too. We weren't big enough.
Yeah.
We weren't big enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But go there, comment.
You got to comment on the YouTube thing. You got to like it, comment on it, and share it.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
But tell them Uncle Greg sent you.
You know, it's funny because
I want you to know the push I'm giving. I want you to know.
Give it. But we're sitting with you. You surprised me with Sam Rubinoff right now.
I know. You just spoil it.
I'm sorry.
I was going to bring him in.
But I'm bringing it.
You bring him in.
Because he named the album
Hinged.
He named it. Well, because it's interesting. Well, you're wearing your Soul Joe shirt.
Uh huh.
Which we can talk about that show.
Yeah, we got a lot.
I would love to talk about that show. But the only other time I've been there, which you set me up with Soul Joe, mm-hmm. Greg sent an email.
This boy. That's
Sam and I went down there. So he saw me like kind of, that was like meandering through the set, trying to figure things out. And then when I found out Seinfeld was opening the album recording.
Right, wait, yeah, hang on.
Let me just finish this.
Let me bring him in.
You bring him in. Yeah.
This is a great friend. I've known Sam for years. Oh, like 10 years, maybe.
Yeah. I like how I'm taking over your podcast. Yeah, go ahead. Bring him in.
Also, which we'll also discuss, which I said, hey, wouldn't it be a great bit if you came and took over? And you went, I don't have time.
No,
and then
I
you
said,
came in and you did it.
I didn't have time to prepare. Like
a fake prepare. I'm never prepared. Sam Rubinoff is here. Sam, do you have to promote anything?
Yeah, actually, I have this great web series I made with Graham Kay and Zach Verhoff called Watch Us Talk. It's the worst talk show of all time. It's a lot of fun.
It's really funny. Oh, and he just shot a film.
Yeah,
really?
I directed a short film.
What?
Yeah,
you and I got to work together.
I'd love to.
We got to make magic.
Actually, Alex, the guy who Alex...
Yeah, my boy Alex.
Yeah, he was supposed
Lex.
To... Yeah. Oh, you call him Lex?
I call him old Lex.
He was supposed to help out, but his wife had COVID.
Oh, really?
Anyway, yeah. But,
why should I call him?
Yeah.
That's my friend.
No, that was months ago.
It's been a while.
Fine. Everyone's alive.
He stopped being my friend when I had the baby.
Really?
Yeah, that's what happens. People, they think they're hassling you, and they're not hassling you, so they don't talk to you anymore. So he gave me a nice Nike tracksuit for the kid, and then he's never talked to me again. Huh. But I'll anyway.
He's a nice guy.
We're gonna rewind. I love him. I love him so much. I really love that guy. He's a really great guy. So you're back. Also, I don't know. I'm in very interview mode right now.
All right.
Kind of feels good. I don't usually do it like this.
Yeah.
So Seinfeld, he's named the album.
So Seinfeld
was opening your album.
Seinfeld.
Explain what that means.
Okay. So Chris Mazzilli, the owner of Gotham, where I was gonna shoot it on a Wednesday in July, called me on Monday. And was like, hey, man, do you mind if Seinfeld comes in and does a set? Because he'll call Chris and be like, I want to come in this night.
And do you think that's a good... Now, before
well, what happened...
That, yeah.
Was just...
But what was your mindset before?
Well, what I'm saying is...
I know you don't want me to interrupt.
3 days before,
yeah.
On the Friday...
Yeah.
Is that three? Friday, just a regular Friday at Gotham, he came in and did a set.
Uh-huh.
And I went up after him. And I'm like, you know, I'm like a self-hating comic. Like, you know, I'm never like, I remember texting Lee, my wife, in quotes, I just had a great set and I taped it. I'm so excited. I went up after Seinfeld. He put the crowd in such a good mood.
Yeah.
That when Chris said it, I was like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Right.
Because then I felt like I could invite people.
Right. Seinfeld will be there.
Because even if I didn't do well, but I couldn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
But I would never tell a comic to come, but I know it would be a nice night for Sam to take his girlfriend.
Right, right.
So I was like, hey, man, I didn't tell him. I just said, come, trust me, come to the 7 o'clock show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He knew. He figured it out.
I was like, and then I was like in a fight with my lady at the time, and I was like, you got to come to this comedy show. She said, I don't want to come. I was like, I think Seinfeld's going to be there. And then, like, on my way there, I'm like, I fucking hope he's there because otherwise.
But wow. Sam's got like a sixth sense about things. We sat down at the diner around the corner from here one night. I think we were doing our Jewy Tuesdays or something back pre-COVID or whatever. And we sat down and we weren't even talking for 30 seconds. And he goes, what are you guys, pregnant?
Wow.
He knew it. He nailed it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Psychic.
He's got like a thing.
Yeah.
So anyways, he saw the, you know, working it out for an hour at Soul Jules, then in the dome, and then he saw the actual night, and that night he was like, you got to name it Hinged.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you didn't question it at all. You just went, well, I didn't think about
it. What I took other things and like I played with other things, but that was
not
the
gone.
Best.
There's so many. Not Gone Fishing.
Not Gone Fishing.
Fish out of.
Out Fishing.
All so many stupid fish things that we could just go on
but,
for hours.
I mean, he has a great joke about being on the dating app Hinge.
Of course.
And the through line of the album is that you found your lady.
What you said, it makes perfect sense. And it's a great album title. But all the easy ones, he has to do 60 other albums to do all the fish-related albums.
Right.
The aquarium is back.
Oh, you're going to shit yourself when I tell you what my T-shirt used to be.
What?
Go Fish.
You got to. People should chant that when you walk in.
F-I-S-C-H, maybe.
You should come out with a fishing pole, big trousers.
Good merch. I like it.
You know, one of those hats. This is what I don't know why you're not doing any of this.
Well, your own line of lures.
Well.
Yeah. And if you're just listening at home, that's how he's dressed right now. Full fishing outfit.
Actually, this is a Salty Crew is like a fishing surfing thing.
Yeah, it's surfing. Yeah. It's not fish enough. Stop trying to act like that's fish.
Well, I get all the emails, and they always have fish on a rod in the emails. I swear to God.
Yeah. I thought you meant from yourself.
No.
I told you, before I knew you, I used to get on AOL, In the Tank with John Fish, emails. I was subscribed to your email somehow for the podcast before I even knew what podcast. You had the first podcast.
No, Robert had a podcast that he did on his phone beforehand.
Like who's Robert?
Robert Kelly, the studios that we're in.
Yeah, sure.
Your boss, technically?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know Manny. I don't know why.
Well, what did I say? Bobby?
Yeah, Bobby. Oh, okay. You said Robert.
Oh, Robert. Which that's what he likes to go by. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I remember when I was starting it, I called him and asked him, like, what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you record it?
We
on an iPod?
Started with a snowball microphone.
Oh, yeah, we all did.
Yeah, right into the garage band.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then we moved to mics.
You have all like these legendary comedians on.
Yeah, man. I just released a few. Since mine is sort of on hiatus.
Yeah.
Sam and I tried to resurrect it during the pandemic, and now it's back on hiatus. I've been putting up old In the Tanks.
You should put them all up.
Yeah, I'm doing it slowly, but slowly but surely.
Why not just dump them all at the same time?
Because you can't with, like, I would have to get like some I might as well just do it slowly and.
Like for Libsyn. But maybe on YouTube, though.
I tried to do that, but it didn't work. I'm not very tech savvy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How about this guy, this other Jew?
He's pretty tech savvy.
I'm okay. Yeah. It makes me real angry, though.
Yeah.
The whole video editing and the
He
thing.
Used to do my clips.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he did like 3 or 4 of them, and he was just like, I'm out. He goes, I'm sending your money back.
That's fun. So that's good. Seinfeld.
So Seinfeld opened the show, man. And it's funny because he came in and he was as nicer than because you have a whole story with him that I'm sure your listeners know. And I've known him. I've probably introduced him at least half a dozen times, maybe a dozen over the years in New York City.
Yeah.
Mazzilli had me open for him 2 shows that he was recording at Gotham once. Never learned my name. Never. You know,
crazy.
Never had like a real positive interaction with him. Yeah. Once when he was taping his album at the comic strip, he talked to us in the booth.
Yeah.
A couple of us. And then he told us to shush because he wanted to watch something. Like we were like, oh, he's being nice. And then he was like, can you guys now go away?
Or the Mets.
Yeah. But I get there that night. He walks in with George Wallace and he's like, so where's the young gentleman recording his his album. Today.
George Wallace?
No.
Because that sounds like George Wallace.
I know, I have my bad.
Yeah.
Where's the young guy? Recording it.
And I was like, right here, probably not that much younger than you.
Yeah.
And he actually spoke to me and looked me in the eye, laughed at a couple of my jokes, told him like that I, you know, recorded, I opened for him that other time. And he's like, that was a while ago. I was like, I had hair. He was like, and then Wallace, out of respect, because I told George this story, he and Seinfeld liked this story. When I, the only other time I met George was at the comic strip back in the day when Lucian Hold was the manager and Booker. And, he came in to do some sets, and they tried to pay him. It was only $50.
They tried to pay Wallace.
That's how old
Wallace.
How long ago it was? They were trying to.
Now it's 25.
Yeah, they were trying to give him the $50, and he's like, "No, I just no," you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And
which is by the way, it's like take the money, give it to a server.
Exactly what he did.
Really?
Exactly what he did.
Because if you give it to the club, then the club just keeps it. Fuck that.
Right.
Take the money.
Yep.
He
handed it to the closest server, and I just thought, class act.
Class act.
Class act.
That's why he's comedian of the year.
Is he?
You ever see his headshot?
No.
His headshot, the seller, he has a sash
that makes
on.
Sense. Yeah.
It says comedian of the year, which is like the funniest thing.
And so funny on Twitter, too, right?
So great.
It's like, shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we get there that night, and Wallace is there, and out of respect, I'm like, do you want to do a set, George? And he's like, nah, I'm just here to see Jerry. And apparently, you know, George has like some long-standing Vegas show. He's like, you know, in-house place somewhere. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And apparently he hadn't been on stage for quite some time. And
for the whole pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So
you
were there. Seinfeld.
When did you shoot this?
This was July, right when things were like, we thought things were.
We call it Q3, third quarter. World. Yeah.
Of eight quarters.
Yeah.
So Seinfeld finishes up. He only does like 20-25. It was like the perfect amount.
Great.
He brings up George Wallace.
What?
Yeah.
He
brings up George Wallace. And me and the laugh button dudes, like Chris and Matt, were looking at each other. We're like, ah.
Yeah, you're going to burn this crowd.
Yeah.
How does he not know that?
Because he doesn't care. So he brings him up. And George, you know, we're like kind of freaking out. And George apparently does like, hello, you know, thank you so much.
Yeah.
A joke about Jerry.
Yeah.
A joke about somebody Jerry was talking to in the audience.
Right.
And said good night. He didn't do more than 3 minutes.
Class
act.
Class got
class act.
George Wallace, I'm a stand-up in New York one time.
Yeah.
And I'd recognize him. I was like, oh, hey. I was like, I just start talking to him. He goes, come here, young man. And he talked to me for way too long.
Yeah.
And I'm like, starting to doubt that he's good. I'm like, I'm down at your good because of how much you're talking to me.
Right.
You should be disrespectful to me. Now I'm like, no, but he talked to me for a full hour about like everything. And he was, and like, there were some other comedians who were just saying, he was like, that's crazy. That's stupid. And I was like, all the things I was saying, because I'm like, I love comedy.
Yeah.
And those guys don't. They're, you know, these other people were just like,
they're not doing it anymore.
They're not. Well, they are, but they're famous. You know, they're like these Twitter people. They're like people who get like, they're in it for that, you know? And like, I'm in it for, you know, I love comedy and jokes.
You're in it for the t-shirts, baby.
I'm in it for the t-shirts, baby. Shrimping ain't easy. Anyway, we had like this really long conversation. He was so cool. And then I was like, man, this guy's the best. And then I was, anyway, he's just like a great guy.
Yeah.
Comedy legend.
Yeah.
I have to just check in. You got something, Sam?
No, I'm good, man. This is fun.
I know. I just don't feel pressured to talk or not talk. I just make sure I check in on. I do a very embarrassing thing where I go, we've talked for a while. You go.
Yeah.
Hope you have something. Anyway. Yeah, but there's no pressure.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
Greg, this is so exciting for me because we watched Friday Night Greg, like the original incarnations of it.
Who?
Me and Lee during quarantine, like when Jackie was producing it back in the day.
That was when I would, we just.
What was it called then? It's Friday Night Greg.
Friday Night
right?
Greg. Yeah. I just get real high and Anthony would have to deal with me.
Yes.
That's, now we do a thing called Deal With It.
Yeah.
Where it's on the Patreon where I'll do a show where I have a guest come on.
Yeah.
I just get too high.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with it. the guest has to deal with it.
That's so funny because so last week Greg and I went to Soul Joel's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was, can we just say, like, we were a little bit like, you know, annoyed at each other, annoyed at ourselves for co-headline.
You and
we
I.
Didn't try
oh,
to,
we, yeah.
we didn't try to Set co-headline. We were trying to do like an Astoria thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then we were going to do like new dads of Astoria. And then it just turned into me and Greg co-headlining.
We didn't ask anyone else.
On a list with everybody else just headlining by themselves. So it just looked like we were like,
two guys
maybe we should share it, you know?
Well, yeah. The one guy's not trusted enough to headline.
I can honestly say that it was the most fun I've had in a long time.
Yeah, we had a blast.
That night. That show.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I mean, The Hang was great, too.
No.
That show was so much
fun. We flipped a coin.
So this is what we did. See, the egos get bruised. Someone still has to technically headline.
Right.
And no one wants to go first.
Right.
But no one, and especially in this situation, neither of us want to go after the other one talks about having a new kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, very different.
Very different.
Very different. Very. But these people are getting...
Yeah, yeah.
I hope you're into kid shit.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah. But so we had Elle, the host, who did a marvelous job.
Right.
Very funny.
Yeah.
She flipped a coin on stage when she was done with her set.
Yes.
Whoever was.
And did she tell the crowd?
She told the crowd what was going on.
Right. Yeah. But how did she, because did the crowd know you two?
No.
Was she no, like, but she knew.
Heads is a like, guy with a mustache.
No, but Soul Joel was like, I mean, they all saw our pictures and like we basically met them on the way in.
Yeah, and Joel kind of set it
Joel
up too.
Set it up too beforehand.
Because he was like, we have two headliners, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And he's like, and what they're going to do is they're going to flip a coin to see who goes first.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Elle did it.
I went up first. I had fun. Greg went up. He had fun. And then I went back up with Greg, and we did like a whole, you know, Jeff Ross, Dave Attell thing.
Oh, cool. You got Rift City?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. But it was funny because he was like, we should go up and do something together. But after my set, I was like, I have nothing. First of all, I have nothing else to talk about, and I am not prepared to do anything. So I was like, maybe we won't do this. Then John came on. This John. Here he is. He was like, well, let's go back up. And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, no, I've got things. And he had done a bunch of...
While he was on, I had time to like do a couple things.
Which saved me.
We didn't need it. This is how much fun it was, but I had like a closing question in case we couldn't get off stage, which was like, what was your first favorite bit that you did?
Do you still have them? Can we do them again?
We can do them again. I probably do still have them.
I have nothing to talk. I'm so tired and I'm not prepared.
I would say, like, Greg, this is like the perfect. I love this energy of Greg.
This is
whatever you think is happening. It's great.
This,
like, your whole thing is great.
The podcast. I'm tired.
Yeah, but I'm not getting that read.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, we're all friends.
We're all friends.
I was telling him on the way over that I think like tired Greg energy is just our upbeat energy.
Well, that's what I was. I forgot I was going to say this before. So that day, Friday, I don't know. I was off my rocker at home.
You were?
Lee could not wait to get rid of me, and so she was just like, "Tell Greg, thank you for babysitting you." Blah 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 blah. Like, good luck to Greg. All this stuff. We get to Greg's, and I'm like, I don't think you understand. Like, Greg's the same as me. Like, it's not like he's going to take care of me. We get to Greg's. Elle's there. I meet the baby finally, and we go out to the car, and then Elle and I had to wait in the bagel shop because Greg didn't know where his car was.
Oh, you have no idea. This is one of those things where it was also like, I have no idea where the car is, and there's no way to know.
Right.
And so now I had to go up and down like multiple blocks, and I'm like, the energy, I'm nervous. I'm like, I'm embarrassing myself. We're going to be late. I had to walk. Oh, dude, it was like a 20, 30-minute thing. I had to just go find the fucking car.
It wasn't that long, but it was fun. I was just like, Lee, I know you.
I mean, comedic. Yeah. Well, comedic 30 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
What are you doing here?
And wasn't that right when it snowed that day, too, right?
It snowed, and everyone's worried about this coronavirus that I keep hearing about.
Bullshit.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And so we sailed down in 2 hours and 15 minutes. When we drove back at, like, what, midnight? Because it was a 7 o'clock show?
Yeah.
No, there was one other car on the George Washington Bridge. It was empty.
Do you remember the pandemic?
It was crazy, man.
You could park anywhere. You could just drive anywhere.
That's why we're moving to Jersey, baby.
I know.
There's a lot of parking there.
There is.
A lot of driving.
Yeah. This is what I want to get into. Yeah. Where's cool to park?
There should be a podcast about driving in New York City because it is insane.
It's. I hate it. I hate it because it's one of those things where it's like, especially if you do a road gig, you drive 9 hours.
Yeah.
And then you're tired, and as soon as you get home, it's like, well, this is the last master.
Yeah.
You have to use all of your skills,
and
it's the hardest, and you're the most tiredest.
Yeah.
People are like flying in and out.
Yeah.
People go crazy on New Jersey drivers. Like, New York drivers are the worst. And I have a theory. I have a theory. It's because New York, people who live in New York, don't have a parkway. So when they want to unleash or have a good time, it's these back roads. It's these, you know, it's the, you know, Harlem River Drive or whatever. So that's where they, A, get to have to go fast because they can't just go on the highway and go down. And two, they're not good at driving because they're from the city. There's not a lot of driving.
Yeah.
So they don't have the skills,
nor
do they have the place to practice and have a good time.
That's a good theory.
Yeah, I think it works.
Producer Shacky And I used to always talk about this because it was like, you know, you'd be out or something and people were like, can I get a ride home? And you're like, we're going this way. You live in the exact, they just think like the city is small enough that you can just give them. And then the other thing about driving people home in the city is like, yeah, I'm going to drop you off at your doorstep and then go look for a parking spot for 25 minutes.
Yeah, it's a whole other thing. Yeah. I have to dock for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I have to pay a fucking troll.
Yeah.
Why is Siri keep going? Siri keeps going up and it's just listening to us. Do you drive, Sam?
Yeah. I drive. Have you ever been in an accident in the city?
Yeah.
No.
Fender benders. Oh,
I got one. I was on the way home from Robbie and Casey's wedding this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
So, this is the wedding.
So you had a couple
sauce? Went to this goddamn wedding.
A couple drinks?
No.
You're sauced? You're drinking driving?
No. So I was clean and sober, and I'm coming. But it's the same thing. Long drive. I just want to get home. I'm on Canal Street, and a Hasidic tour bus... Yeah. Is we're in gridlock on Canal Street. A Hasidic tour bus is trying to make a left. I'm in the oncoming lane, and I'm completely stopped. I'm just like
at this
stuck.
Point. How did you know it was Hasidic? Did it have the curly cues on the
bumper?
Coming off
the exhaust.
Oh my god! Oh my.
Muncie tours. and I'm so close to this guy that I'm making eye contact with, and I'm like, don't make the turn.
Right.
And he's like. He just gives me the Hasidic shrug.
I'm going to make it.
And I see him, because half the bus is beyond me, I see him starting to make the turn, and all of a sudden I feel my car starting to drag with him. And I get out of the car, and my car is fucked.
Really?
It's
like a slow ass.
Yeah, but it's a bus hitting you slow. So
like you, powerful.
Honda Civic. It doesn't fare well. And then I pulled the car over to the side of the road, and then the police are like, you shouldn't have pulled the car over. I'm like, but I'm on Canal Street. There's cars.
Yeah. What do you mean? What were you supposed to do?
You're supposed to stand there and take pictures of everything. And I'm like, the car's 3 feet over.
That's like a triple heavyweight fighting a lightweight.
Yeah, it was scary.
Whose fault was it at the bus. End of the day?
At the end of the day, believe it or not, I was so stressed about this. And I called my dad. I'm Jewish, if you can't hear from my voice.
Yeah.
He's like, you don't want to deal with these people. They'll drink.
These people.
Yeah, he's like, we just grew up with this, right? He's like, these people are tough. And like...
But not tough.
Right.
And then annoying tough.
So then I take it. I start going around the body shops. I go to this one. They say it's $5,000. And I was like, my dad's like, they're not going to pay that.
Yeah.
His father lives in Queens, garbage business. He knows people. Bo takes me into some place in deep Maspeth.
Yeah.
The guy's working some back end deal. We're going to tell him it's 28. We'll tell this guy you're going to get 14. You're going
to. That's good to put out on the airwaves.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine. We didn't.
Yeah, there's not a lot of listeners.
This body guy was so excited. He goes, "You got hit by a bus. This is great." I'm like, "But it's a Hasidic tour bus." He goes, "Oh no." The whole plan changes. It's just like, I don't want to do business with you.
Yeah. Did you get anything? I mean,
So I ended up, believe it or not, I just submitted them the expensive shop, the $5,000. They paid it right away. Car got fixed right away.
Oh, great. So just, your racism was wrong.
Yes. I'm an asshole.
Also, insurance companies, they take care of that shit, no?
Yeah, I don't
know. Insurance company. Yeah. Can we go back to like figuring out, like, can we do more jokes about how you knew that the car was... Jewish?
Sure. The car was Jewish or the driver was Jewish?
Did the horn go, oy vey?
Was there a light draft when it drove by? Yeah. Jews love a draft. I don't know what the deal. I'm sorry. I can't do this. You could do this.
What do you mean a draft?
It's always a draft for Jews.
No, we don't. We don't like a draft.
You don't like a draft.
Well, we like a draft because we get to complain about it.
Yes.
There you go.
I always said this. I've said this like the third time I'm saying this on a podcast.
You sure you want to say this?
Yeah. The Holocaust happened to the wrong people. The Italians would have loved the Holocaust. Italians love being martyrs. We would have loved to have been us. We'd hold it against all of you forever.
Where do you think the Jews would be if we didn't have that?
Nowhere.
The whole world would be different.
No, but if it was the Italians, do you think you guys would be owning most of the real estate in the city? And
I don't know. Italians would have blown money already. Would have gambled it off the Jews.
You guys own no, but like, do you think that
a good
you
amount of stuff?
Like, you do you think that we would have just swapped places?
I think the Italians would have. Made everyone, the world would be over because we would have complained so much, everyone would have blown their brains out.
But how's that different than what Jews do?
Yeah, you guys are pretty, we're pretty similar people.
Yeah, we really
are. But I think you guys fight more in your homes.
like scream at each other.
But you guys get physical too, right? There's a little bit of slapping, or is that just in the movies?
I don't know about that. Maybe, but we like to scream everything. We're very passionate, emotional people.
Right.
Jews are emotional? Or no?
Not like that.
You know?
Yeah.
Debra, what the fuck?
No, like, yeah, we scream. None of that.
That's just in our heads.
Yeah.
To ourselves.
Yeah. Oy vey. What does that even mean, oy vey?
Like, oh God, right?
I mean, I know what the idea is.
What does vey mean? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Let's get up to Jew talk. I can't. I mean, it's crazy I have two at one time.
Yeah, in this town, really.
Can I tell you this?
Who owns this building?
I know anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Right.
How do I be Semitic? Is that a word? What's Semitic?
It says Jewish, Jewy, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I think Semitic. So. Yeah, Semitic.
Semitic.
Yeah.
I got to get off this topic. Does anybody have anything on their phone? this is going to burn. I like to
go check out Hinged.
This is some things I wrote when I was high. Let me just see if I can read this to you guys. Let's see if we can. This is a segment I like to call Figure Out the Bit I Was Trying to Write.
Oh, okay.
When I was stoned. Gay in 50 years, no one will care. When I was young, dumb, I used to not like big girls. That's the power of horniness. It can defy racism. People in jail. Gay in 50 years, no one will care. When I was young and dumb, I used to like...
It sounds like actually a great sound lyrics for your next song.
That's the power of horniness. It can defy racism. I know that part.
Mr. Go Down?
Horniness is so powerful. Yeah. I don't want to talk about horniness, but, you know, people in jail, you know, they'll fuck each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's how good power. Yeah, that was it. And then it just says, kiss me on the apocalypse. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the sex fantasy. My wife has to die. Oh.
My wife has to die.
Oh, I think I told you about this. This is just something I was thinking about. My having a kid sucks because I used to cheat on my wife in my fantasies. I used to like cheat, but now even in my fantasy, it goes to like, well, this is what you're going to do to your son. Like you're going to cheat on your wife, start a whole new family. So now when I have fantasies, my wife has to die. My wife has to die in the fantasies.
So you're
widower fantasies.
Yeah. I'm like fucking this girl who's stuck in a laundry machine, but also my wife died of cancer 10 years earlier.
How's she in a laundry machine?
She tried to get the laundry up, but she got stuck. So now I'm like, hey, I'm trying to pull you out. Yeah.
She's just hanging out. And she's like, while you're back there, why don't you put it in?
And I just go, she's like, pull it out. And I'm like, okay, but I'm naked. And then it slips. I love a good accidental sex.
That's not the fantasy. Slot. Well, this isn't a quarter. Come on, people. Come on. Hey.
Yeah. So it's all like, you know, she's a real estate agent. And she's showing, hey, what will you do for this house? And I'm like, well, I'll do this. But also, my wife died of cancer 10 years earlier. I have to add all of that to all of my fantasies now because I can't cheat on my wife in my fantasies. It's ruining fucking porn for me.
Now it's going to be so weird. Like, if she does die, you're just going to come.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This kid, too. Like, he's free.
That's
going
to be the wrong message.
He's there forever now.
Yeah.
The kid is
hopefully,
there.
Yeah.
He's going to live longer than about. Me.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ, you can't get away from him. You know what I mean? He's like always there. He's always got to do something. It's like, I always got to know what he's going on with him.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's great.
Yeah. Maybe if those questions, I really didn't come prepared at all.
All right. I mean,
I just have flying energy.
Yeah, you got it. You got it, baby.
But I'm out of gas. I love that people listen to this podcast and they just go, Greg, please stop doing this. You hate yourself too much. Anyway.
Yeah, there's nothing here that we didn't cover thoroughly in that. Do you still have the clips of that?
Oh, yeah, I'll put it up.
Yeah, we should.
I'll put it up on the Patreon. I'll put John and I doing a two-man. That was fun. Also, Soul Joel's shirt.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. You wear Soul Joel's shirt anywhere.
Yeah.
That guy's going to book you 5 more times.
Yeah.
He loves seeing his shirt.
He's a great dude. I like that.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Yeah.
I've known Joel forever. He used to wear a shirt that said, Soul Joel. And you just knew that was Soul Joel before he was even an entity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
He was always Soul Joel.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was always. I used to, not that I didn't like him, I was always like, because he was, I didn't realize he was nervous. But he wasn't like, I thought he was a jerk, but he wasn't. He was just always anxious. Then once you realize he's anxious, you go, oh, all you have to do is calm this guy down.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he's the best. And also, he's calmed down so much in the years.
Okay.
It's like you'd,
I've only seen him as pretty calm.
Always calm, but like you'd be doing a show, and if you weren't there, like, you know, he'd be like, hey, where are you? And, you know, he'd be nervous. I'm like, this guy is a jerk. It's like, no, he's not. He's just nervous for the show. And so once you get over that, you go, oh, buddy, I'm coming at this time. I'll be here. I'm bringing this. And he's like, one of the best. He is probably one of my favorite producers.
Really good.
I've ever.
He always treats
really
everyone real well.
Yeah.
Yeah. He always takes care of you. He's a sweet, sweet guy. And He always goes up and tells some crazy story before you go on about how much he loves you. Uh-huh. He'll always go on and be like, he always tells the same story. He goes, Greg was here on one of the first shows. I don't know why I gave him that accent. I was performing on a pickup truck, and he put the microphone on the floor, and it rolled away, and he made a joke about it. Anyway, you're going to love this guy. He does that every time. It doesn't sound like that, but yeah. No. Dude, I've done wild gigs with Joel.
Yeah.
Wild. We used to do this Valley Forge Casino. Me, Mike Vecchione, and DeVito, I think, were all in the same room. And the vent came on, and I swear this, smoke came out of it. And I went, that's not good. The next day, Anthony and I both had the flu. Ugh. Like, we both got real sick. I'm like, definitely from that vent.
Yeah.
At this weird room in the Valley Forge Casino.
Oh, I stayed there. Did your room have no windows?
No windows.
Yeah.
It was in a basement. No windows.
Yeah, yeah. I
remember. No motherfucking windows. No motherfucking
I did that show twice, like 2 months apart. And there's a bar upstairs that they had karaoke at.
Yes.
Both times I came upstairs and the same couple was singing the same song.
Whoa.
From the Bradley Cooper.
I was about to say, you didn't even have to say it. I knew it. It was
Shallow.
The Shallow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
60-year-old couple singing their hearts out. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing, to the weird, to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
What's your worst? I know that I hate to do the classic whatever, but we're talking about bad gigs. Worst gig.
Worst gig. Gosh, I've had so many.
It doesn't have to be the number one. You can just pick whatever comes to your mind.
Yeah.
Or John, you got one? Whoever goes first.
I've got my classic one that I've...
What? What's the classic?
I probably haven't told this story in a while, but...
Well, you definitely haven't told it on this podcast.
No. I delayed my original move to New York City because of this show, because it was going to be more money than I'd ever gotten before.
Wow.
In Boston.
And what are we talking? $500?
I don't even remember.
Because back then it was...
Yeah, like, probably like a grand or two grand or something like that. But it doesn't matter because I never saw it.
Oh.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino this.
Yeah. So it was for a temple,
mm-hmm.
but they saw me at the Comedy Connection Club in downtown Boston, in Faneuil Hall. And they came back with the rabbi to watch me. And they were like, great, this will be great.
Yeah.
But the people that came and see me were all like, you know, generally young. I get there and they're the only young table.
Wow.
It's all older people.
Oh, yeah.
Like older people. And I said I needed an opener. And they're like, no, we just want you. And I didn't stand. I learned to stand up for myself and say what I needed and stuff.
Sure.
And learned how to do these gigs. But it was brutal. I didn't finish my time.
You ran? We called you. We got a runner.
Yeah, I didn't finish my time. It was awful.
So did you get paid?
The club, and so it was through the club, and the club ended up getting me like a portion, mm-hmm. but they didn't want to pay me anything.
Wow.
Because you got off early? How early did you get off?
I don't remember exactly, but I probably did half the time.
Right.
Yeah. It was probably like supposed to do like 20, and I did like 12 or something like that. Yeah. It was brutal. So the reason why I remember this gig specifically is I don't know why I just didn't throw them out, but I think I really liked them. I was never able to wear those boxer shorts again for a show.
Oh, I've thrown clothes away.
Yeah.
They've stained the jacket. Sure, I never get a laugh in this jacket.
Yeah.
It goes in the garbage.
Yeah.
Can I tell you this one real quick?
Yeah.
I'm at Levity Live, and I'm not kidding. For some reason, they ask for me this every year for this show.
Yeah.
Not Levity. The people who, it's this Hasidic Jews own.
It's a real Hasidic Jew heavy episode.
Yeah, it really is. They own a hospital thing. So like the hospital comes and they do the thing there. So everyone who's there is people who've never been to a comedy show, and it's all the employees and they all want to fuck. So they just talk throughout. So I'm in the middle of my act. The guy who runs it comes up and he goes, on stage. as I'm doing a joke. I'm like, my wife is a, and I hear, feel a tap, and I go, what the fuck is this guy? I look at him, and he was like, can you tell them the buffet's open now? And I went, hey, man, I'm doing my act. He goes, but then how will they know the buffet is open? And I'm like, dude, I'm doing a thing. And he's like, but also the buffet. And I'm like, also, I don't want them to go to the buffet during my act, and we're still talking. Why are this happening here? Right? And then this guy over here, out of nowhere, he yells, you wore the same shirt last year, which is wild for a Hasidic Jew to say. Yeah. And I went, you've been wearing the same outfit your whole life. And then he was like, they were like, what the fuck is this?
That's hilarious.
It was, and it was a fucking nightmare. And everyone's screaming at me, and I'm screaming, and people just walking up on stage, like taking pictures as I'm trying to perform. I walk, Matt Tucker, who is one of my favorite human beings on the earth.
Great dude.
He, you know, managed, he used to be the GM over at Levity. He goes, every time before he goes, look, we know what this is going to be. He goes, you know, I'm not watching. No one cares. They already paid us. Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Just do what you got to do and survive. And it's just a fucking knife fight every year.
How many years did you do it?
I probably did it 3 or 4 years in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm like, I have new material.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but also you didn't hear any of it last year, you know? And then I get off and I go, what the fuck was that? And they come off, they go, another glorious performance, Gregory. Another great one. And I'm like, you don't know what, this guy's tapping me. And I'm like, what is happening? He goes, well, then how will I know about the buffet? And I'm like, get the fuck out.
How was the buffet?
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah,
they did actually do a really good buffet.
That's good.
Nice.
And they did it, but it was funny.
That wasn't them. That was Levity, though, probably, right?
No.
Oh, they can't.
No,
they had to bring it catered because it's kosher.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. And they did kind of go all out, and it was for the employees. And it was funny because the upfront crowd, they sat people in the order of like how much they made at the hospital. So like the doctor sat in the back, all of like the nurses' aide, like the Jamaican nurses' aide sat in the front, like, oh boy, and they're screaming at you and literally trying to fuck each other in the front because they don't all get to hang out.
Yeah.
And then you just see the layers of like whatever all the way to the back. And it's always a nightmare. Great. I didn't do it last year, I think because of COVID, and I think they were probably overrun by COVID.
They're probably dead.
Yeah. Probably all dead. Dead.
It's okay.
You got one? I'll do two.
Yeah. So to piggyback on that, I got like roped into doing Christmas Eve Hasidic or Orthodox Jewish shows, and I did a few of those. And the worst one I did of that.
So this isn't worst show. This is how have we dealt with the Orthodox Jews in our lives?
Well, I'll do another one. Yeah, but
I'm kidding.
But they messaged us clean show. I was like, fine.
Yeah.
Two rabbis who were producing the show each individually messaged me saying, "You have to be clean."
Right.
And by the second one, I'm like, yeah. All dick jokes will be circumcised. And he goes, not funny.
Very funny.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I go there. It's it's just nobody is having fun. It's just they overpack the room. Everyone's sweating. I do my time. And I'm like opening for the celebrity rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
He goes up.
Celebrity rabbi?
Yeah. I'll say his name. Rabbi Shmuley.
Oh, I know Rabbi. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck is whatever. I go, oh, wait, I actually heard this rabbi.
Filthy. This
guy. Of course.
It's just who's fucking here? Like just first line. Wow. And I'm like, wow, I just had to just like
yeah.
It's terrible. But I remember the show I did at Yuck Yucks in Ajax, which is a suburbs of Halifax.
Okay.
And I was up there with Alex Pavone, who's hilarious.
Right.
And he was like, I don't know what this show's gonna be. It turned out being like three companies' holiday parties. And when got on stage, three very long tables all decided to take their smoke break at the same time.
Hilarious.
It was like an exodus. And it was just, there was like four people left in a full room. I didn't do, it's like when people walk, when they just see your face, I don't know what to do about that.
No, I just came from a show where there was five people in the crowd and they were just, I'm looking at, like you could see them. And the guy looks at me and goes, like just down, like, and then I see him whisper to his wife, and I'm just like, I know he's not like, I love this guy. You know, I'm not saying like, oh, we should book him for our birthday. He's just like, whatever, but they're not laughing. So real quick, I had to do a nursing home once.
Yeah.
I know we all heard these stories. Lady says, can you come do the nursing home? And I'm like, okay. So me and my dad go.
Nice.
So just to understand what we're performing into, the microphone wire, no joke, size of an iPhone wire. Must have been that long. Was it 2 feet, 3 feet? Plugs into the wall behind us. So you had to hold it almost like you were the McDonald's, like, we need fries, you know, like, got a quarter shake. So I'm microphone this.
Yeah.
They're like, don't worry. It's a young nursing home. It's like young people.
Yeah.
The lies that were told to me.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. They pushed beds into the front row. My dad takes a picture. There's just some guy like he's just, his mouth is drooling. He looks like he got hit in the face with a bat. And I'm just like, what are we doing here? And they go, we're not gonna. So I do about, oh, as I start, I open my opening joke, go, how's everyone doing? The lady goes, ah, starts screaming. I'm too loud for her. I'm too loud for her. And another guy goes, you're not loud enough. Like, I'm like, oh my God, what are we going to do? We perform, we get off. Lady goes, oh, we can't pay you in cash, but we have Best Buy gift cards. And I'm like, whatever, lady, right? Then, but we have to mail them to you. Never mails us. Worst show I ever did in my life. And never mailed us the Best Buy gift cards.
Tell everyone what it is so they know.
I wish I remembered. I don't want to put the wrong nursing home on blast.
Yeah.
But it's like also that lady, I was like, I want to go back and be like, hey, you owe me Best Buy gift cards. You fucking jerk off.
Yeah.
What's it like
just
doing
for
that?
OCD, I should probably do a second one.
Okay. But also, let me just, this is going to sound weird, but Elle was supposed to be on this podcast, but she keeps texting me like, okay, I'm coming. And I'm like, this is over. Like, this is like, no, all good. Don't worry. So I just have to do that. I don't want to look at you and do this.
Bring your best Jewish story or don't come at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was my most demeaning time on stage, I bet.
Okay, go ahead.
We were going to do a show. First of all, did it for a friend, a booker friend, like a booker friend, like for her cousin. And so, you know, they roped us into doing it for a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Never do that because they don't get a good deal on the food or the drinks or anything else. So they treat you, they're already don't respect you.
What do you mean?
Like, we did it for less money than we should have.
Oh, right.
Because we were friends with...
Yeah.
And so they're like, you're an afterthought.
Right.
So we're already getting pushed around. They start without telling me. They bring up... I brought Gary Veeder. He was about to do his first Conan set.
Oh, you just opened up a whole other level of horrible gigs I've done with Gary Veeder. You just opened up... I've done like 100 horrible gigs with Gary Veeder.
Well, this wasn't Gary's fault.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, great. It'll be a nice crowd. He can practice his 5 minutes for Conan. It'll be great. And so he introduces me and they just... Whatever. They're not... It's just the worst case scenario of like a lounge that like we're like in front of a DJ booth. Like it's just this weird space in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm up there. No one's paying attention. Gary goes to get some of the food that looked really good.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, no, we're not serving that yet. And he goes, well, when are you serving it? And he goes, well, when your friend is done with his speech.
What? Wow.
That was it just, what we were doing did not resemble a comedy experience.
No.
It was a speech.
At some point you start teaching lessons just to be like, look, it isn't comedy.
Yeah.
But here's how you change the oil on a Honda.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever done this? Are you on deck? I don't know if we're going counterclockwise, but you reminded me of something. Because you're talking about talking clean. What is worse to me than doing clean is when they say, no, you can be dirty.
Yeah,
and then you get there and you go,
no, I can't.
No. Yeah, I did a gig. I've done many of these gigs. Basement of a church. And they're like, but it's not for the church.
Yeah.
So you can say whatever you want. No. And then you go in and I go, so I'm fucking this broad in her sea hole. And then people were just like, not in front of the cross.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but he doesn't exist. Yeah. And they're like, now we hate you.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I can't. And at the time, I didn't have 45 of church clean.
Yeah.
And that's church clean.
Nobody does.
Right.
So, what's church clean?
Church clean is no sex.
Uh-huh.
No. Well, I do a lot of religion material. Definitely none of that.
Uh-huh.
No, like, with no cursing, of course. But like, church clean is like NBC.
Like you can barely say bitch.
Yeah. You're on Conan, or you're on, you're on whatever.
Hmm.
So it was like I'm just getting roped into a bunch of those. They're like, do whatever you want, and you get there, like, you can't do whatever.
Have you ever been contracted to do church clean, and you were not, and they withheld money?
No one's ever withheld money,
uh-huh.
Because.
You just have to do your time. That's what I learned from that other experience.
Right.
Just stay up there.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll stay up here.
You got a filibuster.
Yeah.
Someone tried once, and see, this is a difference between, this is the only difference I know of Jews and Italians, is that, I'll grab you up. You give me my goddamn money, or I'm shaking you. I'm getting real fucking violent Italian if you hold this. And I'm sure Jews, I know a lot of dangerous Jews, just not in front of me currently.
There's only one.
Actually, you're a tough guy.
Yeah.
You used to fight people in Boston, right?
No.
Never been in a fight?
Not only with a friend in college.
Really?
Yeah.
You never punched anyone in the face?
No, but I think I dislocated his shoulder.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Why?
Ugh, long story. I was drunk on wine and stuff, too. Back then, man. I'll never forget. It was up in Burlington where we both went to school, Sam and I, 8 decades apart. I remember because it was me and my friend, and I had the wrong combo of something that night, and I was just off my rocker, and I kept going after him. We're outside and I'm all revved up, and there's like 5 of us friends hanging out, and my friend Jay is eating a hot dog, and I start going again, and he's like, "Fish, can you just wait till I'm done with my hot dog?"
My brother has a story. I'm gonna fuck it up, but my brother's in a hardcore band, and they would drive from like city to city to do the shows. They get to one show, someone fucks them on money, and there's nothing they can do about it. So they kind of like get screwed. The next gig, my brother is telling the booker, it's a new show, the story of what happened. So he's like, and I'm in this guy's face like, "You better fucking pay us. You better fucking pay us." As he's going, "You better fucking pay us." His drummer sees my brother going, "You better fucking pay us." Drummer runs over, grabs the guy's computer and goes, "Not again." Throws the booker's computer across the highway. My brother's like, "What the fuck?" My brother's like, "What did you just do?" And it's like, "I'm not getting fucked on money again." He's like, "No, I was telling him the story of what just happened."
So what'd they do? They had to buy him a new laptop?
No. For some reason,
didn't break.
I think they were, the guy was like, it's all good. But also, you look at my brother and you go, you're good. Yeah. You know, I think they were just kind of like, oh no. So I don't think they got, I think they were fine. I actually want to talk to my brother about what the hell the whole story is on that. But I remember him like, I'm like, that's so fucking funny. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask, what's the least amount of money, pre having a kid, what's the least amount of money that you would square up? If a booker owed you $200 and was ripping you off, would you shake him out for that? Or do you just...
So I've never had anyone like say to me, the only times I've ever gotten screwed is when I didn't ask the money and then found out later. And all of those times have been because a comic who was a friend fucked me.
Oh,
I've never really had like a booker really like short me. Uh-huh. But I've done gigs, I just didn't ask the money, and then they go, "Oh yeah, no, this is only like whatever money." And I'm like... So I did a gig once where I like flew to a gig, and then I was opening for a comedian, and the comedian was like, don't worry, they're going to take care of you. At the end of the weekend, after I did 8 shows, they gave me $500 and the flight was $450.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, man, this isn't enough. And the comic I opened for was like, oh man, that sucks. And I was like, no, this was you. You should have known. You should have done this. You should have told me. You told me I was gonna get taken care of, and I didn't make my money. So,
right.
And but they were like, "Oh no, but this club is known for kind of fucking over the features or whatever." But I'm like, "Yeah, I can't do that anymore.
Right.
I can't do that shit anymore." I don't get in like, but yeah, I've it's only ever been like that Best Buy. I still think about those Best Buy gift cards.
Yeah.
I should have shook that lady down. I still every day I go, I should find that lady.
Let's go find that.
Let's go find this.
How much money was it?
Probably like $50,
yeah.
You know, but still, it was like one. It's
disrespectful.
It's the principle.
It's someone stealing. Yeah,
it's for principle.
Yeah, exactly, man. You screwed us over. We did a horrible gig.
It's like Gary Gulman's joke about Trader Joe's when at the end, like one of the climax of the bit where the woman's like, "All right, you know, like you can have your space in line if it's that important to you," and he's like, "If what's that important to me?" Justice.
That's funny.
Or, it is that important to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, right?
It really,
it's just
no.
The principle. Yeah.
I do a bit about this, but I have people who I've, so I'll tell the story. I've probably told on a podcast, but I can repeat stories whenever people don't remember my stories. In my house, 4th of July, I'm on the roof with my wife, my then girlfriend, Tita. We're watching the fireworks. This dude who lives in the same building, is up there, and we're hanging. We're having a good time. This guy's cool. I'm like, we're having a great time, you know?
The old apartment or the new apartment?
Yep, okay. The old apartment. And a few days later, Tita goes, "Hey, remember that guy? Let's call him Chris." I don't remember his name, but we'll just call him Chris. He goes, she goes, "Chris asked me if I wanted to go upstairs with him to party." And I was like, "What?" And she was like, "Yeah." And Tita, she's just like, "I didn't know what party meant." And he was like, "Sex, you know?" Yeah. And then she was like, "You know, that was my boyfriend." And he goes, "He doesn't have to know." And so now I'm like, this rage is there.
Yeah.
And I don't see him. And I eventually see him, and he goes, "Hey, Greg, what's up?" And I went, "No, man, you don't get to fucking say that to me. I know." He also told her not to tell me.
Right.
Like, she's going to take his side
yeah.
over this. And I go, "Nah, man, you don't get to fucking say that shit to me, right? Blah, 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 blah." I'm like, I'm going to fucking kill. I'm like, I go down the stairs, and there was broken concrete. Yeah. And I picked up a piece of concrete, and I went, and he's like, "What are you going to do?" And I'm like, "I'm going to smash your head with this rock."
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, how does this end? Now, I do this, I'm trying not to do the bit, I just work this into a bit, but Tita and I aren't allowed, I'm not allowed to fight. Tita's ex-boyfriend, I told this actually story, now I'm telling you the story that I did as a bit. Tita's ex-boyfriend hit a guy, I went into a coma, he went to jail. Tita, that's how I got Tita on a discount, because she was like, "I'm never dating anyone else like that." And so when we met, she was like, "You're not allowed to fight anyone. Mm-hmm. Like, you're never allowed to fight anyone. I will break up with you if you fight anyone." So I had this rock in my hand, and I'm like, "I don't want to do this to her again. What am I going to do?" I put the rock on the ground, and the guy goes, because I said, I was like, "I'm going to fuck you up." He goes, "Let's do this," right? Like, it was a whole thing. And he goes, "That's right. That's what I thought. Coward." Calls me a coward. And I go, and I went, "All right." And I went upstairs. I go in my house, and I'm telling you, 2 years, 3 years, every time I get in the shower, every time I have any alone time, "Coward." Yeah. He's there. And I think he comes up, "Coward." I'm sleeping. I'm like, I should have. And I see him. He lives on the same,
yeah.
in the same building. I see him, and I just have to like walk away and see him. And he just, and like, he thinks it's like he's got that male shit. Anyway, COVID happens. I'm like, whatever. I'm at a cough. I'm at the opening.
You don't live there anymore.
Well, I moved down the block.
Right.
Yeah. I moved down the block.
But you don't live in the building.
I don't live in the building. I'm at the coffee shop, and I hear this guy going, "Will you do something? You want to do something?" And I go, "Holy shit, that's him." And I turn around and I see him, and he is literally talking to a 6'3" Puerto Rican dude who is jacked, who has MMA shorts on. He has like those like sponsored shorts on, and he's going, "You want to do something?" And the Puerto Rican dude is like, "All right, fine. Yeah, let's go do something." They walk outside, and the dude puts his hands up like an old Notre Dame type. "Yeah, put him up. That kind of, the Puerto Rican dude, one punch right in the face. His face explodes in blood. The kid Chris goes down. And then the Puerto Rican guy goes, "All right," starts to leave. The dude gets up again. Puerto Rican punches him again in the face. He goes down. And then this is not, none of this is made up. I'm telling you, what happened next is 100% what I did. The dude, Chris, starts going, "He wasn't socially distancing." He's trying to like change the narrative on this guy. And I'm sitting there like, fuck that. I'm not letting this guy.
Yeah.
So I go, "Ladies and gentlemen, I want everyone to know this man is a noted piece of shit. He tried to sleep with my girlfriend behind my bed. She's now my wife. We're doing great. You know, like, he tried to fuck my girlfriend, and now he was trying to fuck that guy, and he deserves everything here. Give this man no sympathy. He is a noted piece of shit." He gets up, he leaves, and then it kind of hit me that was like, that guy that we all have, the coward, you do that shit enough. The guy who cuts you off in traffic, the pieces of shit. You have to understand that karma is real. It's not magic. It's science. If you act that way enough, you get it. You can't try to fuck people's girlfriends or do shit, and a Puerto Rican will break your fucking nose in a coffee shop, but you just don't get to see it. Like, you don't get to see that it's happening. I got to see it. I was lucky enough to, I say, like, I was the hype man for my fucking thing, but, like, to watch it is real. It's, like, it's real. And it's, like, so when you have that guy in your head, take a deep breath and know they got
it. They'll get his.
They did.
Yep.
It's not a... And it's like, I have a friend who was a dick and now he's rich, but I know he's not happy because I know the kind of person they are. Like, they're not like... So don't... They are getting it. They are getting it. Just you just don't
and
see it.
And let's spin it the other way too. Mm-hmm. It's like, for yourself, you know, because I feel like we're... All three of us are people that try to, like, you know...
Not be
good to other people and stuff, and you're worried about you're not getting what you may think that you want from the world.
Right,
that'll come too.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah,
I don't believe that, but I do believe something else.
Yeah,
it's not the things that are coming. It's the mentality to appreciate those things at a higher level. So sure. Like,
yeah,
I may never get a Netflix special.
Yeah, no. It's not what you think you want.
Right.
It's what you actually need. I forget the terminology, but it's like
right.
You might think you want, like, I remember listening to some, like, you know, positivity person talking about this, and it's like, whenever you think you want something and you just focus on that thing,
yeah,
it sets you up for disappointment.
Right.
So the way to do it is, like, for instance, you just said, what, a Netflix special?
Yeah.
It's like, I want a Netflix special or something better.
Right.
I want a Netflix special or something like that.
Right.
So, you know, you'll get the thing that you need.
Right.
It might not be what you think you need.
Right.
But it's the thing that you need.
Yeah. No, I love that.
Yeah.
I always kind of think of it as too of like to be happy. Like, it's not the things don't make you happy.
Right.
You make yourself happy. Yeah. So once you make yourself happy, once you work on like just understanding that's like, you know, I always tell, like, I was talking to this kid, Reed. I love Reed. He's a fan of the podcast. He's a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, sorry, Reed, I'm going to tell them. But he was like, I want to get work at this club.
Yeah.
That's my goal this year. And I was like, don't do that.
Mm-hmm. You gave me the same talk.
Did I?
Yeah.
I got a lot of, I repeat a lot of bits
no,
to people.
No, we did it on a gig. I'll chime in. It's great.
And I was telling him, like, well, and I know I was telling him, I was like, don't try to get that thing, but do the things. What you want to do is, like, the way I could put it is, like, you can't make your kid eat a sandwich, but what you can do is get the bread, get the ham, get the cheese. Those are the things you can control, and be proud that you got the sandwich. Whether or not he eats it or not isn't that.
The result, yes. The
right. Do the work.
We can't do the, yes, do the work, put in the energy that you want to. You can't be responsible for what
someone else.
Yeah. And I think I was talking about this with you, Sam, the other day, just in life, not even on a podcast.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, a few years ago, like, right before I met Lee, like, establishing with, like, a therapist and stuff, just like, this is what I want more than, like, if I had to choose, like, what's, because, like, a lot of people say, like, you need to make a clear definition of one thing. You can only, the universe can give you, like, one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being like, I'd like to get I want to be in a family. I want my Ooh. Family.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's more important to me than any career thing.
And then you looked at your friends and you went, I'm already in a family.
I'm already in a family, baby.
Astoria.
I'm out.
I know. But no, you're still in.
Yeah, I'm still in.
You can still, yeah. Come on. And what were you? Was that close? Because I think I said,
yeah, because I, you were giving.
Tell me what I said to you.
First
I'll
of
stop
all,
talking and you tell me what I said.
No, Greg gives great pep talks. And like,
woo.
We were on the way to, we did a gig in the Hamptons, and you were like, what are you trying to do this year? And I was like, I forget what my answer was.
I'm
trying to get a late night.
Sure.
And you're like, yeah, you can't do that. You can't bet on that. You gotta, like, you can't bet on things that, yeah, you're reliant on the gatekeepers to feel.
Right. These pieces of shit.
Right. I also remember, I remember this time I was doing like a shitty bar show,
mm-hmm.
and there's a comic there who I was
You could just say
with.
Bar show.
Oh, okay. There's like two good ones. Actually, okay. All the crowds don't laugh anyway. But
yeah.
And, I was friends with, but he was like a few levels ahead of me. He just booked a supporting role in a sitcom. Nice. Big deal. Making money. And I got off stage and I was miserable. And he was like, you have to figure that out, because you think that getting a big job like I just got is going to change anything. It is not. You're just going to be the same.
Because there's always people below. You know, there are comedians on this who are listening to this podcast who wish they could be where we're at. And we sit and wish that we could be mm-hmm. other places. But it's like, nah, man, like, it's shitty to those people right. who are like, you know, they live in the Midwest. And it's like, I wish I could just get on stage once, you know? And it's like, and then there's people like, you know, like, I'm very famous and I'm very, you know, I'm just like, you know, like I, there are things I want to have goals, but I don't have, I just, you know, so, you know, I try to be like, not like whatever, but you know, the 5 minutes, nice. Nikki's the man.
But she's oh, that's cool. You guys have all sorts of graphics.
Nikki's the woman.
She's trying to make it really subtle.
I saw.
That clip art, I love that.
Yeah, Nikki, you don't have to be subtle here. You can just go, Greg, Shut it down.
Shut it down, baby.
We got a fingered countdown.
5 minute light, Greggy.
Yeah, but it's actually a 5 minute. It's not. It's a no minute light because 5 minutes for me to get to my spot, which is 10:30, which is downstairs.
Yeah.
But it's also we're. I don't think they're running on time.
Never.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of like, just you know, be happy. Because even like the person who wants to do comedy, who did comedy once, or someone who's never done comedy at all, or there's people who don't live in America. There's people who like whatever. It's like there's always we're always in the middle of wherever we're at. You know what I mean?
How do you think your goals have changed now that you're a dad?
Oh, it's all changed.
Yeah.
And that's like, I have a 5 minute light, dude. That's for the Patreon. no, I mean, it's all the whole thing has changed in the weird way of like, now I no longer, for me, it's, how do I explain this? Like, I'm no longer the main character in the movie. Right. Maybe I'll be Mr. Miyagi for this kid, you know, like maybe. So I watched the Einstein documentary on HBO, and his dad was a comedian, a famous comedian. And yet we don't know who that fucking guy was. We look at this guy, that famous comedian who was his dad was famous. And he was like, I'm the man. Then he died on stage. And then his son became famous as well. And all that famous guy was 3 minutes in his documentary. Maybe I'll be 1 minute in my kid's documentary, which will probably just be a podcast or whatever. So it's like, but that's good. Like the kid lives on, and whatever I don't need to do, he's my DNA. So I have the same consciousness, right? So I've been thinking a lot about Vanilla Sky, where you die and then you can be reanimated. Uh-huh. And it's like, well, what happened to the old you? You know what I mean? So the only thing, so you have this new body and it has your old consciousness. Well, what if it didn't, right? That's what my son is. My son is me. Just without my consciousness. He doesn't have me knowing him, me there. But he is like a fingernail that grew up that is my grandmother. Like, you live on now through your children. So I'm now immortal. Well, as long as that kid gets laid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
He just doesn't have my ability to know I'm there. But he has my cells. He's a part of me that literally grew into something. So, like, now my priorities are like, yeah, like, they don't mean anything anymore because it's like, it's all good. It's like, we're good. I mean, I have goals. But I don't have, like, I don't feel worthless anymore.
Wow. And it's also, like, this thing where you're like, I want these things for them.
Right.
Like, I need to get this gig to pay for daycare kind of thing. Oh. It's like, it gets down to, like, the nitty-gritty of things. Mm-hmm. What happened, man?
No, I'm saying I'm thinking about daycare now.
Yeah,
I don't have enough money for daycare. Right. It's too much money. It's too much money.
This is a great time to announce that Greg has a wonderful Patreon.
Yeah. So if you'd like to help me pay for my kids' daycare, go to the Greg Stone Zone on Patreon.com. We've got some tiers, and the tiers are changing this month. For everyone who is a $15 donator, we're probably not going to do the live episode. It's just a little too much, but I'm going to be putting up a ton of stand up for you guys for all the $15 guys who are still on. And I think we're just going to probably be mostly doing the 5 and 10, which is audio, and then 10 is video. And then the 15, I'm just going to throw stuff up there until just to make you feel satisfied. But I don't think I can do the live show anymore or the special episode. But I will be throwing up stuff when I can. But that's just going to be what those tiers are changing to. Anyway, we're going to figure all that out. That's not for sure yet, but
there will be a live feed of your baby sleeping
right
for the $20.
Yeah, it's just all too much. But yeah, please, it's really cool. And we put up so much really, I have a lot, there's so many great episodes up there. The full Blockhead interview, the Anthony episode. There's stand up that I put up there. There's a full Night Cream concert that
I
is on
Patreon.
I want to
check out the next one. I love those videos. And Harumi's the man.
Harumi is the man.
Yeah.
Also, we are thinking of maybe the $15 thing will be the Night Cream tier, where we just do the Night Cream shows on $15 tier.
Oh, yeah. But, like that $17.50.
I have to go. We have to go because I have to go down. I have to literally go on stage.
Hey, Sam
right now.
I will keep going.
Yeah.
That's fine. John, again,
Hinged.
It's a great album.
I know. Thanks, it is. He's buddy. Such a great comedian.
Yeah. He, through and it's he's a master.
It's my masterpiece. Yeah.
And what about Instagram? What's your Instagram name?
JD Fish, FISCH. Please follow me.
Yeah. Oh, also, I'm going to post when I post the clip.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tag you guys.
Yeah.
So then you can follow them when I post those clips.
Yeah.
And I'll post the Hinge link and all
and
that shit
too. Our thing.
Yeah. So you don't have to follow. You don't have to go worry about, I'm going to post everything, so go to my page. Follow me first. No, what I mean is like, just on my Instagram, I will post everything so everyone can get all their shit. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Nikki. She's sitting in for Suarez tonight. I think she heard me.
Anytime.
Nice. She's the best. She's great. She's so quick. Anyway, thank you guys so much, and we'll see you all real soon. Good night. Bye.
Big up your head. Big up your body. Get on the bus. It's time to party. It's Gregory. It is a Saturday night, Gregory. Take your socks off and take your pants on. Get in the car and drive on Saturday night, Gregory. It is a Saturday night, Gregory. The darkness, my man was too high. He created the show, so and that is why that you had Gregory. Oh, Friday night, Gregory.